greatest curse that has ever fallen on mankind is the curse of the fallen race because of our sin.
For by grace are you saved through faith.
Give us some men who know the truth.
Hi, and welcome back to Much Talk About Christianity, a podcast about all things Christianity. I'm your host, Grant Skillen, and if you have a topic you would like to have discussed on the show, you can email me at muchtalkaboutchristianity@gmail.com, you can message me on Instagram at muchtalkaboutchristianity, or you can message me on Twitter at MTAChristianity. In this week's episode, we will be discussing the basics of Calvinism and Arminianism. If you would like a more detailed episode in the future, let me know. Next week's episode will be about the social gospel, so be sure to tune in. But let's get to today's episode. Calvinism and Arminianism are two opposing viewpoints on the relationship between God's sovereignty and our free will, specifically when it comes to salvation. Let's begin with the history of Arminianism. Arminianism is a branch of Protestant theology based on the teachings of the Dutch theologian Jacobus Arminius, who lived from 1560 to 1609. In 1610, followers of the recently deceased Arminius drew up the Five Points of Arminianism as essentially a summation of the principles taught by Arminius. They wrote these points as a protest to the church in their area. Now, let's discuss the points of Arminianism. The first point of Arminianism is partial depravity, or human ability. This is the idea that humans are depraved, but they are still able to seek God on their own and accept salvation. The common defense for this point is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. All verses referenced will be from the ESV translation. The second point of Arminianism is conditional election. Conditional election is the idea that God chose those whom would choose him out of their own free will and predestined them to believe. A commonly used verse to defend this is 1 Peter 1, 1-2, which says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. The third point of Arminianism is general or universal atonement. General atonement is the idea that Jesus died for everyone and anyone can be saved simply by choosing to believe in him. Titus 2:11 says, For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And 1 John 2:2 says, He is propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The fourth point of Arminianism is resistible grace. Resistible grace is the idea that if God calls out to you through the Holy Spirit, you can resist that call. God does all that he can to bring a sinner to salvation, but the sinner can choose to resist that call and live in rebellion. Hebrews 3:15 says, As it is said, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The fifth and final point of Arminianism is fall from grace. This is the idea that you can lose your salvation if you fail to keep up with your faith. This is the most contested point among Arminians, as many accept the Calvinist view on this issue. Those who hold this belief use Galatians 5:4 to defend it. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Now, let's move on to the history of Calvinism. Calvinism is named after the French theologian John Calvin, who lived from 1509 to 1564. The Five Points of Calvinism were made by the Synod of Dort in 1618 to 1619 as a response to the Five Points of Arminianism. Let's discuss the points developed by the Synod of Dort, which can be summed up with the acronym TULIP. The T in TULIP stands for total depravity, or human inability. Total depravity is the belief that we are entirely depraved because of the fall of Adam, and we are unable to seek God on our own. Romans 3, 9-12 says, What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. The U stands for unconditional or divine election. This is the belief that God, in his sovereignty, from eternity past, elected those who would be saved unconditionally, not because of anything good in them, but because of his grace. Ephesians 1:4-6 says, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." The L stands for limited atonement. This is the most debated point of Calvinism, and it claims that Jesus' death on the cross was not for the whole world, but only for the elect. A verse used by defenders of this point is, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Which is John 17:6. The I stands for irresistible grace. This is the idea that when God calls those whom he has elected, they are unable to resist the call. When God calls, man responds. John 6:37 says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." The P stands for perseverance of the saints. Those whom God has called, elected, and saved by grace cannot be lost. Through God, they will persevere to the end. In John 10:27-29, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." I hope that after listening to this, you will be interested to do more research on these two topics. The relationship between God's sovereignty and our responsibility is something that we will never be able to comprehend in our broken, fallen minds. However, what matters more than our fallenness and brokenness is that God's mind is not broken, and his mind is not fallen. What we can never comprehend, he can comprehend perfectly. What we need to focus on is not what we can't comprehend, but what we can. And that is what Jesus commands to do in Matthew 28:18-20, when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Another thing that the Bible is clear about is that those who believe will be saved. Romans 10:13-14 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" We must follow Jesus' commandment in the Great Commission to preach the gospel to all nations and to all people. We cannot control who will believe and who will be saved, but we can control our part and do our part, which is to preach the gospel. Thank you for listening to this episode of Much Talk About Christianity. I hope it has helped introduce these two viewpoints to you if you were unaware of them, and that you will do more research on your own, as they can go much deeper than I went into in this episode. As for my views on this topic, I'm going to keep those to myself, as I know this can be a heated topic for many. If you'd like for me to go more in depth on these two topics, or if you have another topic you would like for me to discuss on the show, you can email them to me at musttalkaboutchristianity@gmail.com, you can message me on Instagram at musttalkaboutchristianity, or you can message me on Twitter at @MTAChristianity. I hope you will tune in to next week's episode to hear about the social gospel and why it's not biblical. But until then, I'll leave you with this benediction from Isaiah 40:8. "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever."